Venerable religious, dear parishioners, and dear students, we're celebrating a high holy day today. It used to be a holy day of obligation, the 40 days after Christmas, and definitely a close to the Christmas season. We celebrate today what we call the purification of Our Lady, and that was to fulfill the Mosaic law that 40 days after a woman gave birth to her baby son, that she had to come to the temple to be spiritually purified. This was not a moral fault of any kind, just simply something from the book of Leviticus, where God was teaching his people how to really strive for purity of heart, purity of mind, purity of morals. So we call it the purification of Our Lady, and on this day, there are blessed these candles, a very, very powerful blessing. As you can see, there are five different prayers used in invoking solemn blessings upon these candles. And so this is why we call it Candlemas. Just like we have Christmas, Christ, and then M-A-S attached to it, which of course used to mean the three masses offered on Christmas. Well, there's a special mass for 40 days after. So candle mass. Today we celebrate the presentation of our Lord in the temple. So it's the fourth joyful mystery of the rosary today. And by the way, if there are any mothers that have recently given birth, we will give you that special blessing if you would like after Mass, an imitation of Our Lady as she presented her son Jesus, so you present your newborns to God and, of course, receive a special blessing upon yourself and your child. So if you wish, that will take place after Mass. Today is also the first sorrow of Our Lady. And that is, of course, the prophecy of Simeon. Even this such a happy occasion, he's inspired to say to Our Lady, you will have so much to suffer because of your son. Believe it or not, I want to talk about somebody, a great Catholic writer, to help us understand more about the Feast of the Purification and also about Catholic School Week, which we are observing. And I am going to talk about that great writer, Gilbert Keith Chesterton, so often referred to as GK. And I'll tell you why I'm bringing him up, because he was such a great defender of Catholic education. It really struck me that in 1910, he wrote a book called What's Wrong with the World. And what makes it fascinating even more is that this was 12 years before he actually became a Catholic. But he had so much good thinking going on in his mind, and he put words on paper, and he wrote this book identifying the great evils of the time. This is in 1910. So when you do the math, that's 113 years ago. He identified big government as a threat to the family, big business, where it would take away lawful profit from the laborer. He also condemned feminism, which was really starting to arise, which was taking the mother unnecessarily out of the home. We're not talking about necessarily when a woman needs to work, and when women workers are needed, for example, as teachers, as nurses. We're not talking about that, but unnecessarily taking the heart away from the family for not good enough reason. But also, he saw as a great danger, a great problem, public education. Why? Because in public education, he saw parents losing control over their children for those 6 or 7 or 8 hours that they are away from the family. And parents are the primary educators of children. And if the public, if the government says, you have no choice, you must put your children in this school, we will teach them the values we think they should have, then you see this conflict happening where bad values are even taught because of the government that contradict the values taught by the parents at home. You can see what a huge, huge problem this is. And so, Gilbert Keith Chesterton, not a canonized saint, although maybe he will be someday if we, true pope may canonize him, but definitely a great defender of the church, the defender of the family, and the defender of Catholic education. And of course, he absolutely upheld the right of parents, should they wish to educate them in the home. So we also have the Feast of St. John Bosco. This is why he sacrificed himself so much. You know, when he went to get a health checkup when he was 70 years old, the doctor was just, you know, using the stethoscope. I think they had it back then. And he said, he was checking out his heart to hear how it was thumping. You know, the heart circulates the blood. And he asked him, he said, how old are you? He said, I'm 70, or thereabouts. He died when he was 73. He says, no, you have the heart of a 120-year-old man, or something like that. I forget the exact number. Somehow the doctor could say, you have worked so hard, it's as though you have lived 120 years, rather than just 70 years. So St. John Bosco was on fire with the need for Catholic education to put children in a good learning environment and to hold up to them the highest values of all, which are the values of the gospel. And of course, to teach them all the important subjects, the reading, writing, arithmetic, science, history, all these other things that you need to know to function in this society in which we live. But he knew how vulnerable children are. This is what has inspired the Catholic Church and so many of its members to sacrifice themselves for Catholic education. So as we celebrate Catholic School Week, we have thanks to give to St. John Bosco and all the other saints that are patrons of education. And we have this great writer, Chesterton, to thank as well. But there's something that he loved to talk about. He brought it up many times in his writings that I find applicable today to the Feast of the Purification. And children, I hope as you get older in our school, I'm sure you will be exposed to more and more Chesterton. That will be a very good thing. I know some of the teachers are very big fans of Chesterton. No doubt you're very happy to hear me talk about him. But there's one word that he loved to talk about a lot, and that was the paradox. I know that's a bigger word for you little children, but what a paradox is an apparent contradiction. In other words, when you first look at it, it looks like contradiction. But when you examine it more deeply, you see there is no contradiction. By the way, in philosophy class, you know how much we've talked about the impossibility of true contradictions. But things sometimes seem contradictions that are not. And I believe the Feast of the Purification has many an expression of paradox. When I was reading my breviary, or praying my breviary, and also in the Mass, we see this phrase, the old man held the child in his arms, but the child was ruling the man. That's a paradox right there. It seems like Simeon had the power over our Lord, and he did. He was just a baby. But remember, that baby is God, and he is ruling Simeon. Isn't that amazing? That so there's a paradox. Another one. Mary was the virgin. The virgin. This was also in the office for the purification. Our Lady, the virgin, conceives, and afterwards she remains a virgin. Again, seems like a contradiction, but God made it happen by a miracle. The paradox today. I told you earlier, it's such a joyful feast, Mary presenting Jesus in the temple, and then it's also the feast of her first sorrow. What does that tell us? That joy and sorrow, aren't they a contradiction to each other? But we're told that they can coexist. Joys in some ways, but sorrows in another way. And again, we saw the purple before Mass. That was the sorrowful part. We see the white of the Mass. This is the joyful part. So spiritually then, there are paradoxes for us also to understand in our lives. We are transitioning into the Lenten season later on at the end of this month. We can't always have joy in our lives, can we? If we did, our joys would be very shallow. Our joys are made more meaningful because of the sorrows and sufferings that we have to go through, and vice versa. Those who have suffered and sorrowed the most have actually a greater capacity for true joy and true happiness. So I couldn't help but talk about Chesterton today. I'm sure our Lord and our Lady wouldn't mind that, because he gives us an amazing insight into the nature of this feast. Another paradox is the candle that you were holding. You know, it's said by some commentators that the candle weeps. As it burns, it's crying. You see those, of course, I was trying to tell you to not let that wax drip on the pews, on the carpet, but it's going to drip some. Hopefully it'll be caught by the wax guard. But think of those as tears from coming down from the candle. And here's the paradox. A candle fulfills its purpose by burning up. It achieves its purpose by being destroyed. Isn't that a paradox? Yes, it is. So, paradox, look at above the main altar. The greatest evil that ever happened in the history of mankind, when God was killed by his human creatures, and yet that's our very act of redemption. A paradox. So let us thank God for these insights into the spiritual paradoxes in our own spiritual life. Often we're going to grow in ways we don't understand. It doesn't seem to make sense at times, but with spiritual guidance and especially with God's grace, we'll understand there are even paradoxes in our spiritual life where we keep growing despite our frail human understanding that of how it always was supposed to work. So let us rejoice in this feast. Let us thank God for the graces of this feast, for this sacramental, and let us thank God for these ones that have explained to us. And again, I could talk for a long time about all the paradoxes in our faith, but I'm not going to. But let us understand how God works in these ways to make us pure, to purify us of our sins. Strive for the virtue of purity. There's so many terrible dangers to purity nowadays. Pray three Hail Marys every morning and evening to help you to preserve this virtue. It's like a lily, like a white candle. You have to carefully preserve it. So again, many graces to you today. Many blessings be upon you on this great feast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.